You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Zagur and Wilhelm, turn the microphone over to not Stan, to not KG, but to Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns.
Looking back to last week in the Oakland game, obviously a frustrating loss for us. Too inconsistent on defense in the run game, and then when we get presented with third and long opportunities, we have to be able to get off the football field. Looking ahead to this week, I like the focus where we've been in the meeting room. We had a good practice yesterday, good walkthrough. I speak for the coaches and the players when I can say we have a lot of respect for this offensive scheme in San Diego we're going against this week. And their players on the offensive side of the ball. So it'll be a good challenge for us, and should be a good game. Questions?
Mike has talked about missed tackles being the most troubling aspect right now. Is that where you're at as far as the defense is concerned?
That's one of the things. You know, we got to be more consistent with our tackling. I got to do a better job putting guys in position where they can make plays in space. But, that's something we need to improve on.
How do you get better when you can't tackle in practice? I've asked that for, 17 years.
Well, I think you got to bring a mindset every single play. That's one. And then number two is the way you finish each play on the practice field, you can finish in a good football position, bend at the end. We talk about tagging off on the hip. That way you're in position to put your chest on the ball carrier and wrap and drive for five and tackle a guy when you actually are in a live situation. And, it's something we work every day as a defense. You know, if you look at the first 5 minutes of our individual, we're usually always working tackling. So we just got to continue to work it. We'll get better at it. We got good coaches. So it'll be a point of emphasis for us.
Jim, Carlos was saying yesterday that, you guys at – through film session and stuff, you were saying that you took some responsibility as well. What could you have done better in your just calls or preparation?
Yeah, I'm always going to be my toughest critic, and you know, those guys know if they mess up, I call them out, and if I mess something up or don't put them in a great position to make a play, I'll be the first to take the blame. It starts with me, so I got to do better, and then if I'm better, they'll do better. So I have no problem. I'm not going to be a finger pointer. You know, I'm always going to start with myself, and I hope those guys respect that.
Did you know that Joe Hayden suffered the rib injury on the first play?
I didn't know what happened on the first play until after the game.
And so, what can you say about Joe's game in light of knowing that? I mean, were you frustrated in the beginning, and then it looks like you guys went to some zone after a little while?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when one of your better players leaves the game, you got to kick into some, you know, emergency game plan modes, which I thought we did a great job as a staff, you know, communicating and adjusting on the run there. I was proud of how Joe came back from that and finished the game for us. So.
How did Desir look? I mean, I know he took the one penalty, but how did he grade out?
I thought he was very solid.
How do you put into words, Jim? I mean, the defense was going to be a cornerstone. Run defense is going to get better now. It's at 158 over 3 games. How alarming is this team?
I'm not going to sit here and say that we still can't be the cornerstone of all this, and we still can't do that. We have to be consistent and not give up that one big play. I mean, the numbers are what they are, you know. But when you allow a 48-yard rush or whatever it was, you can't do that. You know, you got to be consistent every single play. You can't be consistent for 28 plays or 29 plays and play good football, and then for one or two runs, you give up a 20-yard run and a 40-yard something run. And that's what kills you. So, and it's usually you can deal with one guy getting a minus on a play or something, but when it happens, you know, when you're playing solid football and then all of a sudden you get a play and three or four guys get a minus on it and you miss a tackle, that's what's going to happen. So you got to bring it every single play. I got to bring it every single play. I got to put guys in position to make the play. So, but I'm not, I like where we're going. I'm confident in our players. I'm confident in myself. I'm confident in our coaches. I'm not willing to say that we're not going to be a good defense and we're not going to stop the run. I know the first 3 weeks were what they were, or they are what they are, and we're moving ahead and we're looking forward to San Diego. Couple things. I mean, the foundation of our scheme is the foundation of our scheme. It's been very successful in both the run and the pass. Like I said, it's I got to do a better job, and then we got to do a better job being more consistent.
Can you assess Whitner? I always pointed it looks kind of glaring to us that he's missing a bunch of tackles.
He's missed a couple tackles. I think that he's very hard on himself. Also, he's also done a lot of great things for us. In the run game and in the pass game. So he's been very focused, locked in. I think he's very excited to get back out on the field Sunday.
Jim, what would you take for a guy like you with your hand to play maybe four winner? I mean, is that an option at all?
No.
Jim, we were talking to Buck Kruger yesterday. He said his pass rushing opportunities are down because of the switch to the other side. Can you explain why you made that move with him?
We thought he could help our defense when we were in base a little bit better at the Sam linebacker position. And then obviously the injury to Scott Solomon early in the year caused us to shuffle some things around. So.
Will that be different when you get Solomon back?
We'll evaluate that when that happens.
When is he coming back?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Ped or the trainers about that. I know he's working his butt off to try to get back as soon as he possibly can. I know he's out of the boot, which is a big step. So he's starting to do some running. As far as me giving you a timetable, that's probably above my pay grade.
Is that a tough decision to move Paul when he's coming off, leading the team in sacks and a career high in sacks?
Well, we only really moved him in base defense. I mean, you play over 60% in sub defenses in today's NFL. So is it probably costing him five to 10 more opportunities to rush the passer? Yeah. But is it better for us defensively right now? Yeah. And we're going to do what we feel we need to do to win football games.
Yeah, it's more on Whitner. I mean, it looks like he got old fast. I mean, is that an unfair assessment?
I wouldn't agree with that. He's missed a couple tackles. I wouldn't say he's getting old fast. He's still one of our best players on defense. He's our leader on defense. So we're going to roll with Dante Whitner, guys. Okay?
Jim, obviously one of the reasons you guys drafted Danny Shelton was to help with the run D. Yep. And with the run D still struggling, people are wondering, how's Danny Shelton playing? What responsibility does he bear in that?
I think Danny's done a really nice job. And like I told you guys, and I got criticized for saying it last week. We've done some good things in the run game. It's just we got to be consistent throughout the entire game, so we're not giving up those one or two long yarders. You know, I mean, everybody just looks at the end result, which is fine, and I understand that. But I do see improvement there. Okay, and like I said, it's my job, all right, to put the guys in better position to make plays. It's my job to create the scheme, and then it's the player's job to execute that. So I need to be better, and we'll move on from there.
Is he occupying the number of double teams that you want him to?
Yeah, we're not getting hit in the middle, guys. Yeah, we're not. Those big runs aren't coming through the A gap.
I didn't see the belt in the locker room. If somebody got it, who got it, and why?
There were a bunch of guys that had two tags this week, so they're kind of rolling it. Obviously, we prefer that number to be up to five or six tags, so we have one clear winner. So I think there was, Batamosi was one, Randy Starks had two. I'm leaving out two guys, so I probably shouldn't have named anybody. But it was four or five guys that all had two, so they're rolling with it by day.
Have you considered maybe rolling that stuff back so when you win?
Excuse me?
Have you considered maybe rolling that back, only give out the belt if you come away with the win and give the dog tags out when you win?
No, because it's a reward for guys being special on a play. All right, it's them doing something unselfish, sacrificing their body, showing great effort on a particular play.
Given that the offensive line problems
job with San Diego are all over the place. What's your approach to their makeshift line?
Well, you know, they, like I said, it's an offense I have a lot of respect for. You know, the head coach there and offensive coordinator do a great job. So I'm sure they'll have a good plan in place to protect it, protect what's going on there at the offensive line or simplify it. I would anticipate them probably running the ball more, getting the ball out quicker than maybe what they've been. But, you know, they've Philip Rivers has been pretty damn good for a long time, kind of running the show and doing his thing back there. So I don't see them changing too much, you know. So, the guys that they promoted are guys that, you know, they're either familiar with from other teams who know the system or guys that have been on their practice squad. Or so it's not like they're just bringing in guys who have no idea what's going on with that offensive scheme off the street. So it's guys that at least know it. They have a foundation in it.
Game pretty banged up, especially in the secondary with Joe and Gibb and Kaywan out and all that.
Injuries are a part of the game. You know, you gotta roll with what you got. You know, and I feel like we put together a good game plan based off of the guys that were healthy. And like I said, they got guys hurt. We got guys hurt. You know, it's who can adjust and do the best on Sunday.
What do you see Melvin Gordon?
I think he's special. I think he's a really good football player. He's doing a really good job running the ball, runs hard. He's got make-you-miss ability. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know we were high on him here, so he's a very good football player.
As the defensive coordinator of the Browns, Jim O'Neill, you could sense the frustration with the defensive performance last week against the Raiders. And again, doesn't get any easier against the number 4 overall offense in the National Football League, Philip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Danny Woodhead, Keenan Allen, Steve Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, Ladarius Green. They've got weapons.
They have weapons. And who's not frustrated? You know, that's where sometimes, you know, for us sharing some of the player sound, you want to hear that frustration and disappointment. Because that is a feeling you want to have very, very shortly, and then it's fixed right away.
And hopefully it will be fixed this week against the Chargers, who could be without the entire left side of their offensive line. When we come back, we're going to open up again to phone calls, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.